The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Tonight, the city of Los Angeles is under a curfew as it marks a fifth day of massive anti-ICE protests.
Day five of immigration protests saw demonstrators blocking the busy 101 freeway in downtown LA just at the start of the evening rush hour. Los Angeles police seen taking people into custody. This all culminating the same day that 700 active duty Marines were sent into the area. The Marines joining the now 4,000 members of the California National Guard activated by the president, not the governor. The president defending his decision after returning for a trip to Fort Bragg.
If we didn't get involved, Los Angeles would be burning down right now, just like the houses burned down.
Meanwhile, across the country in Chicago tonight, anti-ICE protests breaking out following the immigration raids here in Los Angeles.
Aerial video, that really gives you a sense of the scale here because this protest was massive. It took up, the entire side of Michigan Avenue. It also started to sort of edge into oncoming traffic the other way. This has been a peaceful protest. The major incident here was that car that appeared to clip a few protesters. That was at Wabash and Monroe.
There's the red car that's coming in, and you'll see people trying to get out of the way, others standing in front, and others beating the car, trying to slow it down or stop it. And then here's, you'll see the officer right there as it passed. There were officers lined up there, but the car was able to escape.
Anti-ICE protests spreading nationwide. There's another rally expected today in Lower Manhattan.
What we saw yesterday was a few rallies, and we're set to see some more today.
We've seen flags of Mexico, we've seen the Palestinian flag, and really just a convergence of different issues and different concerns that people here in New York City have.
Another live look at protests continuing into the night in Los Angeles and here in Portland as well.
It's been multiple days since some started camping outside the ICE building in South Portland, many fired up about deportations.
Anger over immigration raids started in L.A. with protests and spread from city to city. Tonight, it reaches Kansas City with protesters on the march.
Hundreds turned to thousands. Seems as though the two groups merged right when we got to the crossroads area. And there they took to the streets.
The ICE raids are a big issue for Floridians, too. Hundreds of people came out today to Tampa City Hall to demonstrate for hours in solidarity with those protesters in L.A.
Hundreds of protesters started marching through the streets of Denver just before 7 p.m.
Later, protesters are seen running away from the area. You can see some smoke in the distance. It's not clear if that is tear gas.
They're asking for ICE to remove a presence from Denver and to remove a presence from LA and across the country. But as you can see, the protest that was supposed to just start at 5:30 has not died down at all. If anything, it's continued to grow.
It continues to grow. The riot organizers, and there are organizers, there are people funding this. So many of these individuals are paid actors, and it's 5 days now in Los Angeles, and it's spreading to Portland, to Denver, to Chicago, to New York, to San Francisco. It's coming to a city near you. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Leave us a nice comment if you will. And if you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. CNN.com. So all week I've been emphasizing this stark contrast between what's happening in the world today, the present evil world, as Paul called it in Galatians 1:4. And if that's God's assessment of the world that then was 2,000 years ago, what would he think of today? Today's world. I keep mentioning 2 Timothy 3, in the last days. And then there's this 5-verse description of what we're seeing. And what a contrast it is with the world that God is building, with the family kingdom that will soon be established on this earth. Today in the Jerusalem Post, you had this stark contrast on display. You had this beautiful write-up about Celtic Throne and together with pictures of family, literally families that are contributing to this production. And of course, looking at it in the larger sense, it's one spiritual family that works to produce this program, this message, and put it on display for the whole world to see. And in the very same newspaper, you've also got pictures of war, pictures of tanks. And that's the real world that we're living in today. The program, the show, Celtic Throne 2, in so many ways, that's about a future world to come. And people go and watch it, and they're uplifted. They're inspired by the unity, by the love, by the peace that it promotes. It really does tell you everything that you need to know just to flip through the newspaper today. I mean, this is Jerusalem's or Israel's best-known English newspaper. And we've told you about the two shows in Tel Aviv. 2,000 people almost on Sunday night. Another 1,500 that saw it Monday night. Tomorrow night it's in Haifa. I think that theater seats 1,800 people. And we're last count, I think we were up to 1,500. I mean, this is taking little Israel by storm. This is incredible. And then you read these reviews. The Jerusalem Post says the Irish dance troupe show was 2 hours of sheer musical dance energy that made you feel good, happy, and very much alive. This is a well-known columnist in Israel. It says, just after intermission in the two-hour energetic toe-tapping, hand-clapping, yee-haw, howling performance by the Irish dance troupe Celtic Throne, principal dancer Jude Fleury said people often ask them why they come to Israel and why during a war. The reason, he said, in Hebrew, we love Israel. The full house at Tel Aviv's auditorium went wild. With those words, Fleury and his troupe won the crowd over. I mean, think of it, just one comment. And we were, as I've said, we were watching online, and we heard the cheers. They love it because there's actually a production, there's actually an organization reaching out to and expressing love for the Jewish people, the Israeli state. The crowd went wild. Says, from that moment, even had their numbers not been danced in amazing synchronization, even had one of the dancers fallen during a twisting backflip, even had Fleury dropped the spear-looking baton he danced with, even had the under-12 child dancers not looked storybook sweet, it wouldn't have mattered. Just the expression of love for Israel in a world that increasingly hates Israel. They hate Israel. I mean, you see it. You see it embedded into these demonstrations that are sweeping across the country. It's not just the Mexican flags that are flying. Here again, it's the Palestinian flag. It's never the Jewish flag. Oh, no, no. The Jews are committing a genocide. This is Satan's world. And Satan is behind this spirit of anti-Semitism that's sweeping across the world, just like these protests that started in Los Angeles. And of course, it's sugarcoating it, really, to call it a protest. It's not a protest. These are insurrectionists. These people are shutting down freeways. These people are burning police cars. And there's organizers dressed in nice suits that are funding this, that are organizing it, and it's spreading. And you begin to wonder, here in America anyway, you begin to wonder if it's just going to be this way from here on out. Look at the hatred that there was for Donald Trump the first term. Look at how much they were able to whip up this spirit of murder back in the summer of 2020. I mean, that went on for 3-4 months. Over George Floyd, a career criminal. Look at these people taking to the streets to fight for illegal aliens. Something that they would never do for ordinary citizens of America. Or for the little Jewish state. Certainly not. But if you're an illegal coming from who knows where, illegally into the United States, I mean, it's like someone said, I've got the clip later. They're not coming just to live in California. They're coming to take it over. That's what you see in the streets of America. And what a contrast when you compare it to the message, the uplifting, hopeful message that you have in Celtic Throne. Israel is alone. They're alone. This was from Sky News Australia this week, clip 9.
In your article, you quote Tal Becker, who says that Zionism is a product of people who felt abandoned by the world. October 7 has in some way, Tal Becker says, put this sense of an aloneness on steroids. Nobody understands the Jews. The media's against us. There's disinformation. It reinstates the sense of being on our own with our trauma. I think this is such a profound point. Was this a sense that was reinforced by your visit to Israel, that it's a misunderstood nation?
I think it is a misunderstood nation. I think this is a tragedy. This sense of loneliness is palpable. There's a lot of anti-Israeli sentiment in much of the Western world, and the war has been the excuse for a lot of people, particularly people on the left, to fan that sentiment.
Yeah, it's getting worse, as he says. I mean, the whole movement, Zionism, it was brought on by the fact that Israel, or Jews, had felt abandoned by the world. And now October 7 has made it even worse. It's even worse. They're standing alone. You can see why the crowd went wild on Sunday night. People ask us, you know, why are you here in Israel? Why did you come visit? There were some that came up to some of our troop members and said, you know, I saw you on the schedule for this theater a couple months ago, but I didn't think you guys would show up. I thought you'd pull out at the last minute. They've been abandoned. The sense of loneliness is palpable. The anti-Israel sentiment is growing. This Jerusalem Post review, it says, but there still seems something off, something incongruous. Here was the lead dancer of a show exalting the beauty and majesty of Mother Ireland through choreography, song, dance, and magnificent LED backdrops, professing love for Israel. How could that be? How could that be? Especially given that Ireland is arguably the most anti-Israel country in Europe. This is sad. I mean, this is exciting and wonderful on the one hand, and sad and tragic on the other. What kind of world are we living in? Why should Ireland be the most anti-Israel country in Europe? What is wrong with people? What is wrong with governments in these nations? It says here, a country from which, because of the Irish government's animosity, Israel withdrew its embassy. They're so hostile to the little state of Israel that Israel had to withdraw its embassy from Ireland. Not from Gaza or from Iran. I mean, we're not talking about Muslim nations that want to wipe Israel off the map. From Ireland. We love Israel. We are how could this be? The Jerusalem Post says. Simple. And Flurry's English gave it away. This group of Irish dancers was not from County Cork or Dublin. Rather, most of the 40-member troop hailed from Oklahoma. How about that? We are family, said Flurry, again in Hebrew. At first, I thought he was speaking metaphorically, referring to the brotherhood of man, but he wasn't. He meant it literally. They really are family. Well, five families, to be exact. It's the Irish dance version of the Von Trapps. There's the Flurry family. Jude's sister, Vienna, is co-creator, principal dancer, and choreographer. Their parents are the producers. Then there's the Hilliker family with the father and a multi-instrumentalist and vocalist and three of his children among the featured dancers. And it goes on and on through three more families. Actually, there's more than three. The effect is twofold. First, it creates a strong onstage chemistry among the performers. Second, it keeps the show G-rated. Not all Irish dance shows are family-friendly. Some, like Riverdance or Lord of the Dance, include sensual choreography and highly suggestive costumes. I mean, this is brilliant. What a brilliant review. He's a little mixed up on the story, as he brings out at the end of the article, which is kind of funny. But he's absolutely right. It's a G-rated family show. Anyone, you can bring your kids and you'll be uplifted and inspired. There's not much of that in this world, this dark, evil world. All you have to do to see what this world is like is turn on the evening news. It says, not this show. It's not like these other Irish dance shows, it says. Entitled Salter 2, it's a family safe show. The costumes are modest and elegant, and there's no sensual movement or romantic duets. I mean, this is quite an observation from this author giving this review. There is, however, 2 hours of high-octane dance that spans multiple styles, tap, square, martial arts, and gymnastics. It's punctuated by big vocal numbers and traditional Irish melodies. It says one standout scene features about 30 dancers engaged in a dueling tap sequence set in a schoolroom, jumping on and off tables and creating a syncopated rhythm using only their heels and hand claps. That sticks with you. That sticks with you. It's a beautiful scene. All of these happy, well-behaved children set in a classroom, dancing, clapping, not protesting on the streets. Not lighting police cars on fire. Not screaming that I hate Jews. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, he wrote this wonderful book many years ago, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. It's a wonderful world that God's about to establish on this earth. And as Mr. Armstrong taught us, I mean, God's not... You know, and this is represented in traditional Christianity, you know, that God's kind of doing a repair job. You know, Satan entered into the Garden of Eden and caught him off guard. And then ever since, you know, God was kind of backpedaling there. And well, he's trying to call everyone to salvation now in this world. In this present evil world, get as many people saved as possible. And then we can kind of reform this world. God says, no, this world, it's gasping for breath. It's about to die. It's about to be replaced with God's world, with the wonderful world tomorrow. And that world is described in hundreds of prophecies throughout the Bible. That's why God wants us to be people of vision. I made this point earlier this week as well. we've got to keep this glorious vision right at the forefront of our minds. Read through Hebrews 11 sometime, and you see all of these faithful heroes of Scripture, how that they were searching for New Jerusalem, a new city. Well, that's sung about in Celtic Throne 2. New Jerusalem. It's described in the book of Revelation, this glorious city, this headquarters city where God's family will dwell. And it'll become the headquarters capital, the universe headquarters forever. We've got a lot to look forward to. We've got quite the vision. It mentions this standout scene in the classroom. It says, another scene has Jude Fleury squaring off against a traditional Irish frame drum, the bodhran, with his tapping feet moving faster than the drummer's hands. It says, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised if you leave the theater moving your feet fast, arms stiff at your sides, humming that old Irish sea shanty they performed. Heave away, my jolly boys. We're all bound to go. Sorry. I won't sing anymore. But you'll find yourself singing and toe-tapping if you view Celtic Throne 2. A beautiful message. This was, I think we played some of this on Monday. The end of the show, Sunday night, in Tel Aviv, where, as one of the viewers came back later and said, you know, just make sure you appreciate that standing ovation, because Israelis don't do that very often. This, and we posted this on YouTube. It's got like 14,000 views now, just after a day or two. This standing ovation in the theater there in Tel Aviv. This is clip 24. We love Israel. That's what my son said when he was addressing the crowd earlier in that performance. And as you can see there at the end of the show, Israel loves Celtic Throne. It says here, the storyline, this is the conclusion to the Jerusalem Post review. The storyline may be tough to follow and doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Some ancient Irish guy going from Jerusalem to the Emerald Isle. And there might be a technical glitch here and there and so on. And then it goes on and talks about just how much energy is there, how happy you feel. Those minor hiccups aside, this show was 2 hours of sheer musical and dance energy that made you feel good, happy, and very much alive. In these war-torn days, that alone is worth the price of admission. Here again, you see the stark contrast. In these war-torn days, this show makes you feel good, happy, and very much alive. In an email, bit of feedback we got, this TD viewer says, I know I will be one of many who thank you for and congratulate you on having the great instincts to air news of the Tel Aviv Celtic Throne 2 performance, both at the beginning and at the end of today's Trumpet Daily. Both were sorely needed. What with all the violence and filth you're obliged to cover while delivering tomorrow's news today, and the transcendent hope of the wonderful world tomorrow, it says, to bookend the devil's world with news of God's soon coming kingdom was brilliant. It was brilliant. We need it. We need to be uplifted. We need to feel good and happy and very much alive. Not that it's just about a feeling, but we need to be filled with God's life, with God's truth, with God's spirit, especially in these war-torn times that we're living in. As you see rioters spreading across the country, as you see Israel at war with Hamas and the whole world ganging up against Israel. The storyline to this reviewer was confusing. He didn't quite understand it. And, you know, think about the irony of that for a moment, because this is their history. This is history they've forgotten. This is history our nations, the United States and Britain, have forgotten as well. If you don't have the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, by the way, I mean, that book, that one book, will help you to identify where we fit in Bible prophecy. And then your eyes will be opened to a third of the Bible, more actually. Tomorrow's news today, you'll be able to look at the evening news and know that this is prophesied. God actually says that our nations are in trouble. Read Jeremiah 30. Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble. These are the times we're entering into. This is a master text on Bible prophecy, the United States and Britain in prophecy. If you don't have a copy of this book, we offer it without cost or obligation. There's no cost for it. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. When we come back, we'll return to the world today, which is not a peaceful world that makes you feel good and full of life like Celtic Throne does. It's a very dark and evil and sinister world, and it's growing worse, as 2 Timothy chapter 3 says. We'll get through as much news as we have time for, and then bookend the program with 4 more minutes of feedback from the second show in Tel Aviv. Just some wonderful, wonderful comments in response to Celtic Throne 2. We'll reserve that for the final 4 or 5 minutes of today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily News, Bible Prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
Generations of army heroes did not shed their blood on distant shores only to watch our country be destroyed by invasion and third world lawlessness here at home, like is happening in California. As commander in chief, I will not let that happen. It's never going to happen. What you're witnessing in California is a full-blown assault on peace, on public order, and a national sovereignty carried out by rioters bearing foreign flags with the aim of continuing a foreign invasion of our country. We're not going to let that happen.
That's President Trump from Fort Bragg yesterday. Our founding fathers, so many that fought and died and shed their blood for America early on, they didn't do this so that we could then see our nation overrun with foreign invaders. This clip from, I think it's from CNN or MSNBC, but basically saying how I mentioned yesterday, you see it in the polling. President Trump has support from Americans to let ICE do their job, to let these federal agents uphold law and order And this comment here talks about the support that he has even from Californians, as left-wing as the state is overall. This is clip four.
At the end of the day, Abby, all I can say is that we had 11 million people that came into America illegally. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they came from. There's a lot of them in California. Californians, I haven't had anybody come up to me and say, hey, get the National Guard out of here. Nobody in California is saying that. They want to be safe. And to have President Trump send the National Guard, at the end of the day, it's a message that he didn't trust. He didn't trust Karen Bass, and he didn't trust Gavin Newsom to operate independently and to protect his troops, ICE agents, federal buildings, and so forth. So he did what he had to do. And I think Californians support that, to be very sincere, Abby. Angelino support that. I don't hear anybody saying, get out of here.
People want to be safe. People want to be able to drive to work without protesters shutting down entire freeways. People want, the men in blue, law enforcement. They want them to do their jobs. They don't want to see their police cars burning in the streets. This is from PJ Media. It's the fifth night of the peaceful, quote unquote, anti-ICE riots in Los Angeles. And the lawlessness is spreading throughout the country like wildfire. NBC reported that demonstrations were planned in cities like New York, Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta. The New York Post reports that at least 45 people have been arrested in New York City so far in various places. Things seem to be even worse in Chicago, where thousands of people took to the streets earlier today. At some point, a car drove through the crowd, hitting at least one pedestrian. It's not clear whether anyone was injured. The driver was stuck between police vehicles on State Street. Officers wanted to guide her away from the crowd and asked her to turn right on Monroe Street, but she ignored their orders and turned left, speeding into the crowd. So just a little bit of mayhem, a little bit of violence. And yet you listen to the talking heads. You listen to these radical Democrats and you wonder what happened. When did the Democrat Party become so demonic that it would support this kind of thing? As I said earlier this week, I mean, 2 seconds ago, they were, pro-law enforcement. Yeah, we're for law and order. We've got to get those who obstruct justice. Look, when they were going after Trump, look at how much they talked about justice and those that would obstruct it. That's what these people are doing. They're obstructing federal agents from doing their job, from administering justice. That's what they're doing. Now you see they're pro-lawlessness. They love it. If ICE would just get out of these communities, then peace and prosperity would break out the world over. Listen to Maxine Waters from yesterday, clip five.
And even those who were out of step with what we are advocating, peaceful protest, did not create any violence. Nobody was shot. Nobody was killed. Get it in your head. And so when martial law is called, what are you going to say? I missed the point. Don't miss the point, you all. Don't think that somehow, because they called out the National Guard, there was violence. There was no violence. I was on the street. I know. And I went from downtown detention back out into the community, talking to people what happened in Paramount, what happened in Compton, what happened in Inglewood. So, first of all, get it straight. And don't just rely on what you're being told or the few incidents that you saw.
Don't rely on the incidents you saw or what you might have heard. Get this straight. There's no violence. Nobody was shot. Nobody was. And then, of course, when people get shot and when they're killed, then they'll just say, well, I mean, it did happen, but it's Trump's fault. It's because they're resisting ICE. ICE, they're the Nazis. We've got to resist. We've got to make our voices heard. We've got to make our presence known. But don't believe your eyes, what you see. Listen to Brian Stelter echoing the same talking point. Clip six.
A lot of these algorithms are surfacing hours old or even days old content. So you might be looking at a video of something, wondering what's happening in LA. It's actually from 2 days ago. And that's, you know, it only matters because it can give people a false impression of what's actually happening at a moment of unrest.
These people, you can't trust what you see online because it may be 2 days old. And it might give you a false impression of what's actually happening. So just listen to me, Brian Stelter, and I'll tell you what you need to know. I mean, I'll tell you if I'm standing in front of a burning building that is peaceful. Come on. Don't believe your lying eyes. What you see doesn't matter. A few incidents that you see or maybe a video from 48 hours ago doesn't matter. That doesn't give you an accurate pulse of what's going on right now. These are the leaders, whether in media or at Congress. I mean, Maxine Waters, she's infamous for calling for violence to resist Trump. She's on video out in the streets, if you go back a few years ago, calling for people to get in the face of Trump supporters. You let them know you're the resistance. The country's unraveling. The world's unraveling. And what, like I said in the first segment, in a war-torn environment, do we need a message of hope? We need it more than ever. Because look at the direction that we're headed in. Look at the trajectory. See where this is leading. I mean, you've got to consider the latter end, as it says in Deuteronomy 31. That's what God says when he's pleading with his people. Look, think about where these sins, where this division, where this strife, this violence, think about what it ends in. It's as if we're just living, you know, with today, this moment in front of our faces, and we have no clue how that this can escalate, how that this is like a trigger. It's a ticking time bomb. And it's about to explode. You know, you have to feel for Donald Trump. Look at what he's a man, as we've said before, I mean, he's a man that has a remarkable amount of energy. And I mean, he gets up each day and he goes forward and he makes decisions. And in this case, I mean, he's having to resist against this evil current, hostility, violence, all these. I mean, the flags tell you everything you need to know. They're waving Palestinian flags, Mexican flags, El Salvadorian flags. They're not taking to the streets to support America, their nation. It's, as he said at Fort Bragg, it's an invasion. They want to take over. And having had a little experience with widespread rioting, I'm speaking of 2020, and Donald Trump, you know, looking to governors at that point, saying, look, bring in the National Guard. Your city's going up in flames. Minneapolis is burning. And these left-wing governors over blue states or blue cities, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it for ordinary Americans. Just give the rioters space, as the mayor of Baltimore once said. Just let them have the space they need to destroy. And then the tantrum will wear out and everything's back to normal. Peace. This was Donald Trump yesterday from the Oval Office, clip 8.
You have to remember, I've been here before and I went right by every rule. And I waited for governors to say, send in the National Guard. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And they just wouldn't do it. It kept going on and on, got worse and worse. And in Minneapolis, that city was burning down. It was 7 days. And I said, I don't care. The governor, who's a governor that just happened to be running for vice president, a total, you talk about an incompetent governor, he's an incompetent person, that he was picked. Well, I was actually very happy he was picked for other reasons. But this guy wouldn't call the National Guard. And we ultimately just sent in the National Guard. We stopped it. But that was after 7 days. And I said to myself, if that stuff happens again, we've got to make faster decisions because they don't want to do it. The radical left, it's usually radical left, and it's usually governors that are Democrat, and they don't want to call them in. They don't want to save lives. They don't want to save property. They don't want to call them in. I don't know what it is.
They don't want law and order. They were telling, right up until the mayor of Los Angeles called for a curfew last night, and 2 seconds before that, she was saying, it's a manufactured crisis. It's brought on by Trump. It's brought on by these ICE agents. This is Sundance. Apparently, the prior narrative that everything was fine, there's nothing to see here, just didn't work. As footage of looting, arson, violence, and riots against law enforcement continues to highlight the false presentations of Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass and California Governor Gavin Newsom, the mayor has now declared a local state of emergency with an immediate 8 p.m. curfew starting tonight. The same people burning cars, breaking into businesses, destroying property, and throwing objects at law enforcement are suddenly going to adhere to a curfew. Imagine that. No, they're not going to adhere to curfews. They're going to go on destroying. They're going to go on rioting. They're going to continue looting and burning. Unless law enforcement shows up to put a stop to it. Listen to this from Representative Torres in Congress, clip 7.
And this is the chaos that the president created when he sent an unchecked group of ICE officers, agents, to a community to profile and do these raids that they have not had a warrant. They do not are not asking for specific names. They are simply going after people because of the way they look. And this must stop. The president must call back these ICE agents. They must retreat in order for the locals to be given the opportunity to restore order, because that is what we are demanding right now.
That's what we're demanding. Just roll back that comment. They must retreat. Law enforcement must retreat in order for the locals to be given the opportunity to restore order. If you remove law and order, then we'll restore order. That's the reasoning. That's the devil's reasoning. It doesn't even make sense. This, you know what happens. If you have enough wisdom to see through to the latter end, what happened? We saw, we had a foretaste of it in 2020. Defund the police. The police in so many communities around the country, they were handcuffed that year. That's why murders skyrocketed in 2020, in 2021. And then the police got back to normal once everything died down with St. Floyd. But murder sky, I mean, people were murdered in 2020 and 2021 because of the attack on law enforcement. And that's what's happening here. It's the same thing. History's repeating itself. I mean, people are going to die. People are going to be murdered because of this. The other thing, too, about this is it's as if no one's ever been deported by ICE under any other president in U.S. history. It's only happened under Trump. No, actually, it's happened under every president. But you can see why. You can see why with people like Brian Stelter out there saying, this is unprecedented. This has never happened. And don't believe your eyes and what you see, a few incidents on TV. Heather McDonald at City Journal. She says, after a day and a half of rioting in Los Angeles, President Trump activated the National Guard to protect federal officers and property, and riots were triggered by ICE's attempts on Friday, June 6, to arrest a few dozen illegal aliens. That representative talked about the ICE agents not having a warrant. Like she's an expert on what's lawful or what's unlawful for these federal agents doing their job. And she doesn't care at all about the fact that the individuals they're going after are illegal. They broke the law when they set foot into the country. It says here the president's mobilization order on June 7 was clarifying and precise. To the extent that protests or acts of violence directly inhibit the execution of the laws, they constitute a form of rebellion against the authority of the government of the United States. LA's illegal alien riots have provided Trump with a picture-perfect opportunity to deliver on his central campaign promises. The era of tolerating arson, looting, destruction of property, and attacks on law enforcement is over. The era of enabling endemic immigration lawlessness is over, and that picture-perfect opportunity has filled the Democratic establishment with impotent rage. They hate Trump. They hate Trump more than anything else. They can't understand why Obama has gone silent. They want Trump to, or rather Obama to come back and fight against Hitler. I went through that with you yesterday on the show. It says it's fitting that Los Angeles would be the staging ground for the White House's affirmation of law and order. California leads the country in its contempt for immigration law in particular. There are, as I said yesterday, as many as 1 million illegals in the Los Angeles area. They just have contempt for law and for order. And you heard the one guy drop a truth bomb on CNN saying, you know, I'm in California and I haven't heard any Californians who oppose Donald Trump's policies here. They want it. They support it. What a dark, evil world we live in. You can see why we need the hope that there is in the gospel, the hope that there is in what God's family is producing. In what God's family's out there showing the world right now in Israel with Celtic Throne 2, soon to be UK next week. A few emails that have come in recently. So excited for the great success in Tel Aviv. So happy to bring that joy and vision to the cities of Judah. It says, looking forward to today's performance and the rest in Israel and then on to the UK. Another one writes, I got emotional just watching the CT2 feedback today. Bravo to God first and all who make this an amazing experience for the world to see. Another one writes, thank you so much for sharing the video and comments from Celtic Throne 2 performance in Israel. The comments from the audience brought tears to my eyes, seeing how appreciative and impressed they were with every aspect of the show. We know there were some technical issues that caused some stress prior to the show, but once again, our loving God took care of everything. Please send our thanks to Mr. Fleury and to everyone involved. Brethren around the world are united, humbled, and thankful to support this great work. There was quite a heavy load of stress on the stage crew and the setup guys with the sound and the, you know, the video board in the back, as they just had all day Sunday to get it all set. Right up to the last minute, there were things in motion that could have gone wrong. A few glitches, like the JP even brought out. I mean, but still, you went away from the show feeling good, feeling happy, feeling alive. Another one says, extremely heartwarming and wonderful to see how our brothers in Judah were to the performers. So well received and grateful for their visit. I hope that Judah knows that they are still loved by some of us in the world. I hope that little Judah still knows that there are some that love them, that are brothers. Says, I could cry a river because of the way the rest of the world has turned their back on or turned against our beloved brother Judah, and the receiver, rather, of the scepter promise. It says, please, God, please speed Christ's return with that scepter of peace and power. It says, especially sickening that the house of Israel is backstabbing them. The birthright promise recipients and the other Israelite nations appear to be hopelessly unreachable, but I still have a little hope for Judah. They have been war-torn and ostracized throughout history. It says, the fat cats of Ephraim and Manasseh have been spoiled rotten, forgetting God, not giving him and Father Abraham the credit for our brief greatness. Sums up a lot of what you read and study in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. We'll conclude today's program with more feedback from Tel Aviv, part two. This is from Monday night's performance. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll finish with the feedback.
Wow, it's amazing.
Oh, it's a fantastic show. I like it.
Incredible.
Great, awesome.
Oh, it's amazing, great. Amazing. Lots of energy, strong energy.
The cellist is fantastic. It's absolutely wonderful show.
I think that is exciting. It's so beautiful. It's so nice. I think that everybody must look at you.
I am very enthusiastic about it, really. It's nice.
We love you. Very nice. Beautiful. Thank you.
This is the greatest show that I saw in years. I enjoyed the music, the dancing. It was great. Awesome. I'm looking forward for the next part.
It's so beautiful. We enjoy, really.
I love it. It's beautiful. Everything is awesome. It's a great show. I enjoyed it very much.
Wow, amazing show. Wow. Thank you very much, Come Israel.
It was amazing, and everybody must come to see this show. Okay, thank you so much.
Tell all your friends.
It was amazing, really amazing. Thank you very much.
It was amazing, and you're wonderful dancers. And very nice that you're here. In Israel.
It's amazing, incredible show. I would like to see, I don't know, maybe 1,000 times.
It was a magnificent show, very, very beautiful, very, very professional. We
have enjoyed it very much.
The best time, the best.
You're dancing? Great.
Thank you. I was very happy and enthusiastic of the show, really. I like the music and the players and dancers, everything. It was very nice.
A lot of good energy. Thank you very much for all of you, and it's a wonderful time. Thank you.
It was amazing. It was really fun to come. It's very professional. I really liked it. And the kids as well. They were on it all the time. So thank you very much for inviting us.
Wonderful.
She's absolutely fabulous. Magic from the very first moment until the very end.
Amazing! Amazing!
Very beautiful.
You're so nice and handsome. All of you.
Beautiful.
Yopi.
Amazing.
It's very, very good. Very good.
It's amazing. It's an amazing show. Very
amazing
nice.
Show. Yes.
And you are wonderful. Really wonderful.
Thank you. It was amazing. You are the greatest. Thank you for all. Thank you for coming to Israel in those times and believing us, because we are believing you. Thank you.
Amazing experience. I've never seen anything like that live on a live show. I'm so happy I came, and my dream is to see Ireland.
It was amazing.
Great show. Great, great.
Great show. Really. Great. I loved it. Wonderful. I want to go to Ireland.
Unbelievable. Ireland is beautiful. We want to take a tour and go to Ireland, to visit Ireland. And with nice people like you, it's great.
We liked it. It was awesome. Thank you. It was really, really nice. Really impressive.
The best ever I've seen. Yeah. Thank you.
It was amazing. We loved you guys. And we came especially from the north to see you, all the family. So thank you so much. It was really well done.
You made us so excited that we're so unwanted in the world. But what's your name? Sorry?
I'm Jude.
When Jude said what he said, it made me cry. I was so excited. Thank you very, very much. You were all wonderful, all brilliant.
No words. It's a beautiful evening. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.